Amen. That's a good song. Amen. To know, one day we'll know him. But I do, many times as I'm thinking of the song that we're singing, I do try to think of the words and think about what we're singing. And I understand many times a lot of the songs that we sing were poems and things that people put into to music and things. But I do have to say, I don't think we're going to have to see his nail print hands to know who he is. You know? I don't think there's going to be a doubt about it when we get there, right? And it's going to be pretty obvious, I believe. Amen? Well, let's take our Bibles, open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I was told tonight is a historical night because we're finishing the book of Ephesians. You know? There's just always somebody in the crowd like that, you know. I did hear that there was a man that preached through the book of Ephesians, and he ended up taking a little over 3 years. So I figure I'm doing pretty good at a year and 9 months, okay? I mean, so come on, you know, give me a little bit of a break here. Tonight, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 21. And he says, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." So Paul has just, as he's concluding here, we've been going through Ephesians for a while now, but especially as we got into chapter 5 and chapter 6, he talks about this walk that we have for the Lord, right? I don't know if you remember back in chapter 5, he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love." And so he says, as we are following the Lord, as we're following Jesus Christ, there are certain areas that he wants us to follow him specifically in. And he uses that phrase, walk in these ways. And we've seen that throughout chapter 5. And obviously, we're to walk in love. We're to walk in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And that includes not just when we're in church and things, but that includes every aspect of our life. It includes marriage. It includes our family and raising our children. It includes the relationship with children to their parents. It includes the relationship at work. Between an employee and an employer. It includes all these different things. This is all part of the walk that Jesus Christ has for us to follow him in. And then, of course, we see, as Paul concludes, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And he begins talking about the armor of God. We've been looking at that now for several weeks about the armor of God and why it's so important. As he's told us, to put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece or two, but all of it, to be able to stand against this great enemy that we have in Satan and the devil. And then last week, we looked at how important prayer is, and he says praying always, and how important prayer is in our walk as a Christian. But now, as he comes to the end, obviously he says, "Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So he's asking prayer that God would continue to bless and he would continue to be able to preach the gospel. And we know even after the writing of the book of Ephesians that God did answer that prayer. There were still several years that God was going to use Paul in preaching the gospel you know, going around to areas preaching and churches being started. But at this point, Paul is in prison, and as he's writing to the church of Ephesus, obviously there's some concern here. And so as he ends, he says, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." Tonight, as we kind of finish up the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at this man that Paul makes reference to by the name of Tychicus. If you want to call him Tychicus, however you want to pronounce that is up to you, but I'm preaching, so I'm going to pronounce it Tychicus, okay? All right? So however else you want to pronounce it, you can do that. You know, you'd be like, well, I want to pronounce it Tychicus, so I can just shorten it and call him Ty, you know? Fine, whatever you want to do, right? Whatever makes it easier for you to remember. But you know, a lot of times, there's a lot of names that we find in Scripture that we don't know a whole lot about. There's not a lot known about many people. Obviously, we know about Paul, and we know about Peter, and John, and Elijah, and Moses, and David. But many times, there are those that are mentioned really just kind of briefly or casually, you know, this person greets you, or that person sends regards, or whatever. And there's not a lot known about some of these people. But I do believe that every word of Scripture is inspired, right? And God has placed it here for a purpose. Now, I understand not every passage of Scripture are we going to be able to really draw from, right, as some other passages of Scripture, but we know that every passage of Scripture is inspired. And so when we think of this man Tychicus, what do we really know about this man Tychicus? And I began to kind of just look at this man, and he's mentioned five different times in the New Testament. There are some that are just mentioned maybe once or twice. I believe a man that many times we think of in a bad light by the name of Demas. We think of this last time that Demas is mentioned in 2 Timothy, where Paul says, "Demas hath forsaken me." But when you go and look at many times throughout Paul's letters, he mentions Demas as being in the ministry. But Tychicus is also a man that is mentioned several times throughout the New Testament. He's mentioned one time in Acts, where we're going to kind of see where he kind of comes into Paul's ministry. He's mentioned twice here in the book of Ephesians. He's mentioned twice in Colossians, once in Titus, and once in Timothy, or in 2 Timothy. So a total of seven times that we find this man named Tychicus as he is given to us in Scripture. Look over with me in the book of Colossians, just over a couple pages. In Colossians, and we're going to look in chapter 4. Colossians, let me get there real quick. Chapter 4. And let's pick up in verse number 7. He says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here." And so here, Paul, it's almost a very similar statement that Paul makes here in Colossians as he makes in Ephesians. We believe Ephesians and Colossians may have been written very close to each other, and so there's a reason, as we're going to see in just a moment, why these two statements are very similar. But one of the things that it seems like that we find about the Apostle Paul is that no matter where Paul went, he was always trying to find people to disciple. He was always trying to find people to develop, to bring along in the ministry and help them to see what ministry and things like that is. And in this, I think just a couple of things we see about this in the Apostle Paul's life, in what he says here about Tychicus, is one, we see his humanity. A lot of times we can look at these Bible writers like Paul and Peter and John and Moses and David, and we can almost think they're like superhuman, right? They're just above everybody else. But I think even here we see Paul's humanity in that he is concerned for the believers in Ephesus. He's concerned for the believers in Colossae, as we'll see a little bit later, because they've heard of his imprisonment. They've heard that he is in prison. They're concerned about him. And so we see a little bit of his humanity in saying, "Hey, I want you to know how things are going with me. I know you're concerned about what's going on." And so Tychicus is gonna let you know about some of these things. But also, I think we find his humility in this. Because again, everywhere Paul went, it wasn't just about Paul. Right? Everywhere Paul went, Paul is trying to encourage others. Paul is trying to strengthen and build up others, right? I think as we see, Paul understood this idea of team effort. You know, there's always somebody with Paul. He understood it wasn't just about him. Yes, God called him to be an apostle, but it wasn't just about him. There were to others to bring along. I think he kind of understood the mindset of, if you've ever played sports or anything like that and you've been involved in a team, I think one of the things they'll tell you, there is no I in team, right? It's not just about me, it's about we, it's about us, it's about the team, right? And that's what I think we find about Paul as well, is even though, yes, God was using Paul, Paul understood this is not just about me. This is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is about us as a body of believers, whether it's Tychicus, whether it's Titus, whether it's Trophimus, whether it's Aristarchus, whoever it was, he says, this is about us moving forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's one thing that I think is so so unique about Paul, and something that I think really every church ought to pattern. And that's one of the reasons why, whether it's doing the youth services or having young people come up and say verses or letting them involved in teaching and things, the First Baptist Church should never be about one man. It should never be about two men or three men. First Baptist Church should be about us. That's what the church is. The church is about us as a group of believers trying to move forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Whenever the church becomes about one man or whatever, we've really run off course. It's not supposed to be that way. Yes, we understand God can place somebody to be the pastor and to lead the church or whatever, but if we start thinking that that's it, you know, everything revolves around him and everything, we've lost it, right? And Paul helps us to see that even though he was the apostle that God sent, he's always having other people with him, right? I would love to be able to one day even have like an internship for young men in Bible college and things, that they could come and work over the summer here at the church and be involved in the ministry. Why? Because we want the gospel to continue long after you and I are gone off the scene. If the Lord tarries his coming, right, and we're still here on this earth, we know that one day we're going to pass on, right? And praise the Lord, we're going to be in heaven. But there still needs to be those that are going to carry on and continue on preaching the gospel message. How are they going to do that if we don't ever help them along, if we don't ever encourage them? And I think that's one of the things that we really see about Paul's humility. It wasn't ever just about him. It was about others around him, trying to build them up, trying to encourage them. And we're going to see, because of that, what that leads to in the life of Tychicus here, right? Now, in this passage, again, there's not a lot that we have. Again, I mentioned there's basically five books. There's Acts, Ephesians, Colossians, Titus, and 2 Timothy, where he's mentioned only seven times. But in these five places, in these seven times that he's mentioned, I think we learn some things about Tychicus that honestly, really, every one of us can learn from. Every one of us, as we look at these things and say, hey, that's something that I can apply to my life. That's something that I can do as well, right? So let's kind of look at a few things that he says here. Notice he says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother. So here's the first thing that he says about Tychicus. He is a beloved brother. I don't know if you remember, but basically he says the same thing back in Colossians. Also, my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother. A beloved brother. Paul refers to him as a beloved brother. Now, hold your place here in Ephesians and go back with me to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, this is the first place that we see Tychicus. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is getting ready to, he's kind of gone through Macedonia area, or he's getting ready to go into Macedonia, really. He says in verse number 1, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, departed to go into Macedonia. When he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. So now he's in what we would know today as modern Greece, right? He's in that area, Macedonia, Greece. Those are, at that point, they were two different areas, but kind of all together now. But he says, "And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, and he was about to sail into Syria, he supposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus." Now, I love this. Look at how many places these guys are from, right? Did you notice that? You have Sopater, who is from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and then of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. So you have four different areas. These guys have, Paul has gathered these guys, and he's got them together, and his whole purpose is trying to help to disciple them and to teach them and to help them grow in the faith, right? But this is what's kind of really interesting about this. He says, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. And again, if we understand, Asia is what we would consider modern-day Turkey, right? It's kind of what is modern-day Turkey, right? And one of the cities that there was a church just happened to be in this place called Asia. And it's the letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And it's presumed, many commentators and scholars believe that it is very possible that Tychicus was actually from Ephesus. And so as Paul is writing to Ephesus, and he's sending this letter back to the Ephesians at the hand of Tychicus, he knows and he has complete faith in Tychicus, because not only has he proved himself in the ministry, but he knows that Tychicus is actually from Ephesus here, right? And so he decides to take Tychicus and Trophimus and all these guys along with him, and that he begins discipling them. And so through their journeys, he becomes, as Paul has said, a beloved brother. And again, not just to Paul, but he's saying even to the Ephesians, he is a beloved brother to you, to the Colossians, to the church of Colossae, which was also in Asia Minor there, where Turkey is. He said he is a beloved brother to you. So Tychicus was a man that people were, they knew his name, and they understood this was a brother in Christ, but not just any, this was a beloved brother. Tychicus was the one that Paul used even to transcribe the letter that he's writing to the Ephesians, right? Either because of his health or his imprisonment, Paul was unable to write, and so Tychicus is the one who actually writes and transcribes this letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians. Now, in traveling to, excuse me, as Tychicus, Paul is going to send Tychicus with this letter that he's writing to the Ephesian church, most likely also with the letter to the Colossian church as well. He's sending these letters with this man named Tychicus, and he's sending him back to Ephesus, right? Now, where is Paul when he's writing this letter to the Ephesians? He's a prisoner where? In Rome, right? And so Tychicus is having to travel from Rome all the way back to Asia Minor, Turkey area, right? And he is entrusted with these letters. But along with Tychicus is also another man. There's another man that is accompanying Tychicus on this journey, whose name is Onesimus. Onesimus, again, is not somebody that we know a lot about, but Onesimus was a former slave to a man by the name of Philemon. Have you ever heard of the book of Philemon? It's a very short book, right? But the book of Philemon was written by Paul to a man named Philemon, and one of the things that he's writing in this letter is that Onesimus is coming back with Tychicus. Tychicus and Onesimus are coming back together, and Onesimus, who was a runaway slave, deserved to be put to death, basically, deserved to be punished because he ran away from his master. But somehow, and again, we're not given all the details, but somehow, as Onesimus has run away from Philemon, and it's really amazing how so much of this kind of fits together with the Colossians and Ephesians and Paul and Philemon and things, but as he runs away from Philemon, somehow, somewhere, he meets Paul. Now, I don't know how that transpired. I don't know what happened, right? But somehow he runs across Paul's path and gets saved. Onesimus gets saved. This runaway slave gets saved, right? And if we go to the book of Philemon, go with me over to the book of Philemon. Again, I don't even know if you call it a chapter. There's not really a chapter to it. It's just 25 verses. But in Philemon, notice what is taking place here. Here in Philemon, and I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here in a point, but that's okay. But in Philemon, notice what he says here back in verse number 10. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. So again, think about this. Somehow Paul is in prison, and somehow Onesimus, we don't know if somebody says, hey, you want to come hear this preacher that's in jail? Or somehow, we don't know. But somehow Onesimus finds or meets Paul as he's in jail, hears the gospel, and gets saved. That's pretty amazing, right? So he gets saved. Paul begins to disciple him and begin to encourage him. And Paul tells Onesimus, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to go back and make things right. Now, that's a fearful thing, because for a runaway slave to go back could be death or it could be a great punishment. But Paul says, hey, hold on a second. I know who your master was. I know your master Philemon, and he's a Christian. And I'm going to write a letter. And this is this letter that he's writing in Philemon. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, because he ran away, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. So he says, you receive him like you would receive me, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. That's a great statement, isn't it? He departed for a season so that you could receive him forever. What's he saying? He's part of the family now. He's a child of God, right? He is your brother in Christ. Yeah, he departed before, and he was unprofitable. He was a runaway slave, but now he's returned, and he is part of the family forever, right? He says, now, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So this guy Onesimus and Tychicus are on this journey back to Asia. Onesimus is going to return back to Philemon. He's going to make things right with everything that has transpired in his life. And again, just to think about what Paul says about him, he said, I wish I could have kept him here because he's such a blessing. He's such a beloved brother to me. But he says, I know he needs to come back and he needs to make things right with you. And I hope that you'll receive him right as a Christian brother, right? And again, if you go back and you read Ephesians and Colossians, there's so much about the relationship between a master and a servant there. No doubt Philemon's going to hear this as well in the church that he's in, okay? So there's just so much that's going on here together. But he says he's a beloved brother. Tychicus is a beloved brother, and he takes Onesimus back with him on this journey to go back to deliver these letters. Again, no doubt Tychicus, a good friend of Paul, he's emphasizing the need to Philemon to receive Onesimus back into service, but actually more so as a brother in Christ, right? We'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute. So notice the second thing that we find that Paul says about Tychicus. Not only is he a beloved brother, he says, and faithful minister in the Lord. He's a beloved brother, and he's a faithful minister. That's the next thing that he says about Tychicus. He's a faithful minister. Tychicus had surrendered his life to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. Now again, think about this. As Paul is a prisoner, anyone associating with him is going to be looked at questionably. Anybody that's associated with Paul as a prisoner is going to be looked at suspiciously. And yet Tychicus is willing to identify not only with Paul, but obviously the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's why Paul is in jail. And he's this faithful minister. He knows exactly what it is that God is wanting for his life. Paul knew that he was faithful enough that he could trust him to go in his own place. He says, I'm sending Tychicus in my place. Now again, Paul entrusted Tychicus to go to Ephesus for him to see how the church was doing. And again, in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 7, again, he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, fellow servant. But again, when you drop down to verse number 9, he says, with Onesimus. So there's Onesimus again, right? So with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. So Paul says, Tychicus is such a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister, that I know I can have him go in my place, and he's going to say the exact same things that I would say. His doctrine is going to be straight. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that I can send Tychicus here, and everything is going to be just as if I was there. I mean, can you imagine having that recommendation from the Apostle Paul? I mean, here's this brother, he's going to go, and I just want you to know he is a faithful minister of the Lord. I mean, you can trust him as if he was coming in my place. I wish so many of our believers, I wish so many of our men would understand the importance of what Tychicus is doing here, right? Tychicus was not an apostle. We're not even told that Tychicus was necessarily even a pastor. But we know he was a beloved brother. We know he was a faithful minister, right? Can I say, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter man, woman, teenager, young person, every one of us can say, hey, I can be that. I can be a beloved brother or sister in Christ, right? I can be a faithful minister. And we ought to be able to know the Word of God in such a way that, hey, you know what? If pastor's gone or whatever, hey, there shouldn't be. And again, please understand what I'm saying. I know some people just have a fear of getting up and standing in front of people. I get that, right? I had the same fear, okay? I know exactly where you're at, okay? I remember when we were on deputation with my parents, and we were at a church in Texas. And this was before I was even saved. I wasn't even saved. And we're at a church in Texas, and they had a little Christian school. And the guy that was in charge of the Christian school, I mean, I'm a missionary kid, so of course I'm saved, right? And he says, hey, would you like to preach for our chapel? Sure. Okay. So, I don't know if you remember this or not. But so he's like, yeah, you're going to get up and preach. So I'm thinking, what do I preach? I mean, I had no clue what I was going to preach. And I can remember, I got up, I have no idea what I even said. I don't. All I remember is I stumbled and I fumbled. And of course, again, I wasn't even saved at the time, right? But I don't know if the guy thought I taught blasphemy or what. I don't know what I was doing, right? But I mean, I once I got up in front of there, I just lost it. Everything that I had written down was gone, and I totally lost it all. I think my message lasted about 2.5 minutes. You're like, why can't you preach like that here, right? I know. 2.5 minutes, and it took you 1 year and 9 months to get through Ephesians? Come on, right? Boy, for the old Andrew, right? No. But I was just so afraid to get up in front of people. But wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be awesome to have a church, right, where every man would be able to get up and share something from the Word of God? Every man, right? Where even if it's ladies' meeting or whatever, hey, any lady could get up and share something from the Word of God. Hey, if Brother Jake all of a sudden, whatever, for whatever reason, him and Leanna don't show up in teen class Sunday morning, and Shane and Rachel are missing, and there's nobody in teen class, you know what? It'd be awesome for the teenagers to say, hey, our teachers aren't here. Let's have one of our teenagers get up and share something from the Word of God. Now, again, I would think we would need some adult supervision in there. That's true. But But what I'm saying is, Tychicus was a man that no matter where he went, he was entrusted that he was going to do not just what was right, but he was going to be a faithful minister of the Lord, no matter where he went. It didn't matter where he, whether he was staying there with Paul, and no doubt as Paul is thinking about sending him and Onesimus away, he's losing some beloved brothers here. I mean, he has no idea if he's going to see these guys again. He has no idea what's going to transpire, but he says, hey, I know these guys are beloved brothers. I know they're faithful ministers, and I can entrust them to go in my place, and they're going to do right at the church there. They're going to be able to help you, and they're going to be able to come alongside and really be that faithful minister that God wants in their lives. Again, this could not have been easy for Tychicus in all that he did. Yet Paul says he was a faithful minister. The most important aspect of his faithfulness is Paul says he was a faithful minister in the Lord. Notice he doesn't say he's a faithful minister to me. He says he's a faithful minister in the Lord. Tychicus had the right priorities. It wasn't about Paul, it was about the Lord. It wasn't about Paul being the man. No, it was about the Lord. Now, yes, Tychicus no doubt understood Paul was an apostle, but he said, hey, he is a faithful minister in the Lord. He's going to follow what God wants for him to do, and he's going to help lead others to follow the Lord as well. No doubt, as he sends Tychicus and Onesimus to go back to Philemon, no doubt Tychicus is probably going to have to stand there and say, hey, I want you to know, Philemon, hey, this is what is right. You know what's right. Onesimus is a brother in Christ now, and no doubt Tychicus is going to be right there, right by Onesimus' side, encouraging Philemon to do what was right. He had such confidence in this man. He says he's a faithful minister. But I want you to notice another thing that we find about Tychicus as well. Not only was he a beloved brother and a faithful minister, but he was an encourager of believers. He was an encourager of believers. Again, what is the whole purpose of this sending Tychicus back to Ephesus? To encourage the brethren. He says, that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know of our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. He said, I'm sending Tychicus because I know he is also an encourager. I know he's faithful and I know he's a beloved brother, but can I tell you something? This man is an encourager. He's an encourager. He's encouraged me, he's encouraged Onesimus, he's encouraged others. Now again, we don't know a whole lot about Tychicus. We don't know his whole background and his whole story, anything like this. But there are some specific things that God reveals to us about this man that again, every one of us can say, hey, this isn't the Apostle Paul, this is Tychicus. A guy's name that I may not even pronounce tomorrow. But look what God did with this man, who was just, maybe what we would say, just a regular Joe Blow. Just a regular guy. And Paul says he's a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister, and he's an encourager of the believers. He said, I'm sending him because I know he's going to comfort your hearts. He's going to tell you about what's going on in the ministry. He's going to tell you about what's happening to us, and he's going to come and he's going to encourage you. He was a messenger of encouragement. He tells Titus, Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 3 and verse 12 that he would send Tychicus to Titus. And guess why Paul sent Tychicus to Titus? To encourage him. He was sent to encourage him. He went along with Onesimus to encourage not only Onesimus, but even to encourage Philemon to take back this runaway slave. Not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. In Colossians chapter 4, he was to comfort those in Colossae. The believers in Ephesus, again, they were concerned about Paul, and Paul wanted them to know that he was doing well, even though he was in jail. And so he sends Tychicus, both encouraging Paul and the believers in Ephesus. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, now this is really, really interesting, because we find Tychicus coming alongside Paul in Acts chapter 20, and all throughout the rest of Paul's ministry, there's one man that, again, there's several, but one man just continues to come up over and over and over and over and over again. Several times. throughout different books, this man by the name of Tychicus. And in 2 Timothy, this is the last letter that Paul is writing. These are the last words that Paul is giving. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he tells Timothy that he has sent Tychicus back again to Ephesus. Again, when it would have been easy to keep him around, he knows he's about to die. He sends him off to Ephesus because Paul says, it's not about me. Go over there to 2 Timothy with me. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yes, this is where we have the famous saying about Demas in chapter 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Right? So Demas has left. Crescens goes to Galatia. Titus goes to Dalmatia. Again, not that these left the faith. Paul's just saying this is where they have gone. He says, Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Remember Mark, John Mark, the one who had originally kind of left Paul on his first missionary journey, the one that caused the division between him and Barnabas. He says, hey, bring Mark. He is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus. Remember Tychicus? Tychicus, that beloved brother. Tychicus, that faithful minister. Tychicus, that encourager to believers. Guess what I'm doing again? I'm sending Tychicus to encourage the believers. I'm sending him back to Ephesus. Sending him to Ephesus. He's gonna try to help there. He's gonna try to be an encouragement there. I mean, everywhere, every time that Paul mentions this man named Tychicus, we always see him being obedient to what God has for his life. Whether he's helping to restore relationship between a runaway slave and the master, whether he's going to the church of Ephesus or Colossae and trying to encourage them to keep the faith and deliver the letters, whether he's sitting next to Paul in a Roman prison cell trying to encourage him, everywhere he goes, he's just encouraging people. Everywhere he goes, he just encourages people. You know, there's just certain people, and I'm sure you have these in your life. There's just certain people, whenever you see them, right? I mean, you haven't even said a word to them, but as soon as you see them, they just brighten your day. You know what I'm talking about? Whenever you see them, you know, those people, they're just an encouragement. You know? I mean, just to see them is an encouragement. Now, unfortunately, there's the opposite. As soon as you see them, you're like, oh man, I hope they don't see me. You know? But wouldn't it be better for every one of us as Christians to say, I want to be that encourager to the believers? I don't want to be somebody that when people sees me, like, oh man, here comes Pastor Andrew. Oh boy, let's... Don't see him. Nope, sure don't. Wouldn't it be better to be like Tychicus, to be say, hey, no matter where I'm at, no matter if I'm sitting next to a guy in prison, or if I'm helping a runaway slave to make that relationship right with his master, or that I'm going to a church and trying to encourage them to be faithful and just to keep on going, everywhere he goes, he's just an encourager. He just encourages believers. So you may never, I mean, obviously if you read through the scripture again, probably you'll see Tychicus. But I hope that whenever you read through, maybe you're reading Acts, or maybe you're reading Titus, or Colossians, or 2 Timothy, or Ephesians, or wherever it is, but I hope when you see his name, these things will come back to your mind. When you see Tychicus, remember, man, here's a guy that he was a beloved brother in Christ. I mean, everywhere he went, he was a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister. I mean, he was entrusted by the Apostle Paul to deliver letters and to help to put things right in churches. He was an encourager to believers. We may not know much about Tychicus's life, right? But I wonder if we were to take just those three things that we know about him, right? It's very clear. This, I mean, it says it several times. He was a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. He's an encourager. If we were to take those three things, right, just those three things, and we put him over here, right, And then you take your life and you put your life over here. Just in those three things, can I ask this evening, how would you measure up to Tychicus? How would you measure up to Tychicus? A guy that most of us before tonight, we probably didn't even heard of, because when we read scripture, a lot of times when we get to name, we don't know how to pronounce. What do? We just skip it, right? But here's a guy that Paul, under the inspiration of God himself, says these things about. So how would you line up in those three things? Would you be considered a beloved brother or sister in Christ? Would you be considered a faithful minister in the Lord? Would you be considered an encourager to believers? If not, maybe the question tonight is, why not? Why not? I mean, you're not having to go and sit with the Apostle Paul in prison and maybe have your life put in prison. And we've got a pretty easy life going here. So what's keeping us from just following his example in those three things? Because I think if we would just look at those three things, and again, I'm talking about men, women, teenagers, young people, in those three things, every single one of us can do, if we're willing to follow the Lord in this. This isn't something that is only for apostles. This isn't something that's only for pastors or missionaries. No, this is something for anybody that is a Christian. To be a beloved brother or sister in Christ. To be a faithful minister. To be an encourager of believers. How would you measure up on those, just those three things? What would be said about you? Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to really grasp this concept of what Tychicus teaches us. Lord, we don't really know his background. We don't know really what his life was before he came to know Christ. We don't know what happened to him after Paul passes off the scene. But we do know from the time that he met Paul and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior until Paul writes that final letter, Paul has some very good things to say about this man. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as believers. Lord, I would think on a Sunday night, Lord, that these are what I would say core people in our church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to consider this. Lord, how would we measure up in these three things? Would people look at us as a beloved brother, a beloved sister? Or are we so full of self that they don't even want to be around us? Would people look at us as a faithful minister in the Lord? That we're, whatever God would have for us, we're willing to do. We're willing to stick with it. Even if it means sitting by a man in prison because of the gospel, we're going to be a faithful minister in the Lord. Lord, would you give us encouragers to believers? Lord, every one of us need encouragement. Every one of us do. And Tychicus was a man that everywhere he went to encourage and uplift and strengthen. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be that people would, when they see us, they would hope that we didn't see them. But Lord, just by seeing us, that would somehow just lift their spirits. Just that that would be an encouragement to them, let alone the being able to talk to them and encourage them and pray for them. But Lord, just to be able to say, hey, man, I'm just encouraged just to see this person. It's just an encouragement to me. Lord, honestly, we think he's kind of got a funny name, and we don't know a lot about him. Lord, we can learn a lot from him. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us just in these three areas that we learned of his life, that we would strive in these areas as well. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this evening. The piano's just going to play softly. Can I ask you again, how would you measure up in these three areas? Would you be considered a beloved brother, a beloved sister in Christ? And friend, can I say, I'm not asking what you think of yourself. It's easy for us to think these things of ourselves. What would others think of you? Do they think of you as a faithful minister in the Lord? You're faithful, you're trustworthy, you're going to do exactly what God wants you to do, no matter what the cost. Are you an encourager? I'd say it's a whole lot better to be an encourager than a discourager. Who have you encouraged lately? Who have you come alongside and just said, hey, I just want to encourage you, I want to pray for you. I want to have you over. I want to buy you a coffee. Whatever it might be. Who have you encouraged lately? I can tell you there's a whole lot of people that need encouragement.